I don't know about you, but when I see all this, it looks like history is coming full circle. The original hiss of the serpent in the garden is being repeated. This promise of elevated consciousness. You will be like God. And Neuralink is being touted as Jesus-like technology. In other words, that it can do what Jesus did. You know, it can give sight to the blind and help people to walk who can't walk. And there's even this idea now that technology can give the promise of eternal life. Now, we know that technology, nothing humans ever invent, can save a human soul. They can't forgive sin. They can't raise the dead. They can't create paradise. They can't do any of the things that God does. But Satan is offering all of these substitutes to give people the hope that they can have life and have purpose apart from God. So this reminds us of Genesis chapter 3, the Garden of Eden, the deception of the enemy there. But the Tower of Babel is also being rebuilt before our eyes. This modern Tower of Babel, as Prophecy News Watch says this, the modern Tower of Babel is not being built with bricks and mortar. It's being constructed through servers, satellites, algorithms, neural networks, and perhaps eventually the human mind itself. So that's where we are with all of this. And we're quickly getting back to Babel, which I believe means that the coming of Christ is near. And as we see these stunning technologies unfold, we're not to be afraid or not to be alarmed or to be alert. We're not to be scared, but we're to be prepared. May God help us as we live in this world where we live today to navigate this in a biblical way, in a godly way, and not be afraid of these things, but be waiting and looking for the coming of Christ.
Well, welcome to Understanding the Times. So glad that you can join me. I have a special guest with me. I'm going to bring him on in just a moment, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. And you heard some of his comments in those little opening clip that I played. And Mark says what's happening in our world today is prophetically ground-shaking. And the story that we want to open with, because we want to hit three or four different topics today, is that Mark Zuckerberg is cloning himself so that he can kind of be, well, an AI avatar present all the time, apparently for his employees. And my goodness, is this leading to things like the image of the beast? I think that's a logical question that we have to ask. Dr. Mark Hitchcock is pastor of Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, serves on the staff of Dallas Seminary, author of umpteen books. We'll get to that in a moment because we're carrying several of his books. Mark Hitchcock, welcome to Understanding the Times.
Well, thanks for having me, Jan. It's always so great to be with you and see you again.
Yeah, thank you. You know, based on a couple of things I said here, Mark, play off of me, please. This is your words, prophetically ground-shaking, and this is in relevance to today's modern-day technology. And more specifically, I want to spend at least 5 minutes on what Mark Zuckerberg is doing and, in essence, cloning himself.
Yeah, what we have, you know, what he's developing, and it's just at the beginning. They're saying this is, you know, what he has now is nothing like what's coming in the future. It's called a photorealistic AI avatar. It's called an AI clone. But what we're seeing here, really witnessing, I think, is kind of a startling intersection of technology and identity and personality and ancient prophecy. It's kind of an intersection, really, of all of these things. And I think, as you've mentioned, I believe it points toward the abomination of desolation that's spoken of in the scriptures. It's really it's a way for Mark Zuckerberg, and he's doing this, but what I've read is this is just the beginning. If he is successful in this, it's saying that people, you know, prominent people all over the world are going to begin to copy what he's doing. And basically, everyone in his company will have access to him. They'll have this clone that has his same voice patterns, knows his strategy, knows the way he thinks. And so it's basically an attempt by men like Zuckerberg to be omnipresent. They can be, you know, everywhere all at once. And so every employee in their company will basically have access to them. And they're saying that what today feels experimental could become standard operating procedure, you know, not too far in the future. So what we see happening here to me is an astounding
really preview or foreshadow a biblical prophecy. Mm. I think it's this is not, you know, AI is not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a person. He's the man of sin.
Exactly.
But this could be the prototype and the architecture for this image that's going
to
speak.
Yes, this could be a prelude to the image of the beast. Mm-hmm. Mark Zuckerberg, not the beast, but I mean, his system is going to play into the beast, but this is a prototype and a prelude, clearly.
Yeah, it's a personal super intelligence is basically what's being created here. There's one person I've read put it like this. Says a system like Meta's proposed super personal super intelligence could exist simultaneously across millions of devices in workplaces, homes, and public spaces, could speak in real time, adapt its tone to each user, and maintain the illusion of presence everywhere at once. So it's this idea of omnipresence, which is really what the abomination of desolation will be. You know, I think the abomination of desolation is in two phases. The first phase is the Antichrist himself will sit in a third rebuilt Jewish temple in Jerusalem in the Holy of Holies and declare that he's God. But he's not going to stay there forever. He's not going to sit there in the temple 24/7.
Right.
So an image of him will be constructed that will be placed there that people will have to worship. Well, how will people worship this image? It's going to be some kind of, you know, avatar clone like this that people all over the world will be able to see. It's like an omnipresence, and they'll have to worship that image and bow down to the image and take the mark of the beast in order to be able to buy or sell. So what we see now probably is just a faint foreshadow of this with quantum AI and all that they have. I think it probably boggles our minds to even imagine what they're going to come up with in the near future.
Well, CBN News has come out with a little response to this, and I want to play it. It's just a couple minutes. Let's play clip 5.
So the reason, Trey, that I have an extreme amount of caution is the most powerful tech giants in the world who run Claude and ChatGPT, OpenAI, Anthropic, Microsoft, Meta, all of these companies, none of these men follow Jesus. And the reality is that Christ said, if you're not for me, you're against me. And so the most powerful tech giants who run the most powerful platforms that are having the greatest reach and are making the most dramatic impact on humanity are the enemies of Christ. And the tools that they are using are designed by people who do not follow Christ. And it is creating the most amount of attention and the most amount of influence in our current culture and specifically in young people today. And so when you have a group of people that don't follow Jesus and they're creating tools specifically for humanity, that's where we begin to need to have caution. And obviously, I can go deeper down the rabbit hole as to what they're creating and why we have to be cautious.
Mark Hitchcock, do you want to respond to that?
Well, yeah, you know, all these people who are doing these things are really, you know, pawns of Satan.
Yes.
Now, you know, a lot of this technology is helpful. You know, we use it, people use it all the time to write, to help them write things. You know, some of the, you know, Elon Musk, the Neuralink technology, it's may help people who are blind be able to see. It's helping people who are quadriplegics be able to function. Some of them even maybe be able to walk. So, you know, these things are all justified by some of the good that they create, but ultimately they're going to be used for nefarious purposes. That's the way I see this. So, you know, it's easy to justify a lot of this and say, look at all the good this does. I mean, we think about the internet does so many wonderful good things, but it's also just a sewer of pollution as well for young people today. So that's how it's being justified. That's how it's going to be rolled out. I mean, look what all this is going to do for humanity.
Exactly.
Open AI. I mean, you know, quantum AI may, you know, come up with a cure for cancer. I mean, there's all kinds of wonderful things can happen from this.
Yeah.
But it's going to be seized upon by the Antichrist and by those who are helping him come to power. And they're going to use it for purposes beyond what we could ever imagine.
Well, you referenced Elon Musk. Let's move on to Elon for just a moment or so, because he's boasting that he's created a Neuralink. Actually, he's been working on Neuralinks for a long time. Apparently, 2026 is the year of brain chips, and particularly going to heal like Jesus. That's what Elon Musk is saying. I think that's a terribly blasphemous statement, but again, it's coming from unbelievers. Let's play clip 3 where we can hear Elon Musk actually saying this.
And then later this year, we expect to do our first implant for what we call blind sight, where even if somebody has lost both eyes or lost the optic nerve, or perhaps has not even been able to see, has never seen even if they were blind at birth, it will give them initially limited vision, but I think over time, very precise vision, perhaps superhuman vision. Restoring control of people who are tetraplegics and restoring sight, I think, are pretty big deals. Those are what I might call like sort of Jesus level sort of technologies.
Miracles.
Miracles, yes, exactly.
Miracles. Again, the serpent in the garden, Mark, said that you will be like God. And I think we hear some of these, in this case, it was Elon Musk suggesting he's going to heal like Jesus. He's going to be like God. Do you think that they're making these, do they understand what they're even saying? Do they understand they're trying to stand in the image of God? I mean, I don't think we know. And maybe they're just boasting of their tech capabilities.
Well, you know, they have so much power. You know, Elon Musk, I read the other day, this is just, you know, think about this. He's worth over $800
billion. $800 billion.
He's closing in on being a trillionaire.
Yeah.
You can't even, it's something we can't even, you know, even begin to even get our mind around. So they have so much power. They can really say and they can really do what they want. You know, he's a brilliant person, you know, space travel, you know, the Skylink, I mean, all the different things that he has. And they're developing things at such a rate that I don't even think they understand even all the implications of it. But I think when he says stuff like Jesus like technology, that's, you know, just kind of a statement in his mind. He's kind of laughing as he says it. And, you know, just kind of like, you know, hey, we're there. I mean, I'm sure he's an atheist. I mean, I've heard before, you know, heard him talk. He's probably an atheist. So yeah, he's just trying to think of the greatest thing that he can compare this to. And compares it to, you know, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who's God in human flesh. But, you know, their idea is this is going to give people, you know, not just the ability to see and people to walk who are not able to, but it's going to actually, they use the term, it's going to give a human being's superpowers. So we're going to have superpowers. And again, as you've mentioned, this is like Genesis chapter 3, where, you know, we've got in the Garden of Eden, we've got Satan saying you can be like God. And so really the next frontier here is basically the human mind. Mm-hmm. So this is, again, the Tower of Babel is being rebuilt today.
Yes.
But it's not with bricks and mortar.
Yeah.
It's being built with global technology platforms, with AI, with all kinds of digital currencies, with biometric identification, with surveillance systems, with algorithms, with this neural network. He's creating, Elon Musk is creating robots, because only robots can put this Neuralink brain chip into people's brains. Human beings can't do it. You don't have the fine motor skills to be able to put these fine little threads, they're smaller than hairs, down into the brain. So a human surgeon will open the brain, but a robot will have to implant this Neuralink. So he's creating an army of robots to be able to put this Neuralink in people's brains. And his goal is to have for millions of people to have this by the 2030s.
Well, I want to transition just a little bit here, a little bit similar topic, because we're still in the area of science. And of course, President Trump has released some of these UFO files, which has, you know, sparked incredible response, and some videos, some online videos, some comments, actually a new movie, that's a Steven Spielberg movie. And I think that because the topic of UFOs, and that's going to be a terrible convenient thing to suggest that, well, when we disappear in the rapture, I think we know that the secular pagan world left behind is going to say, again, those pesky Christians, good riddance, the UFOs took them. So, but we've got UFO sightings. We've had UFO sightings of a serious nature since 1947 in Roswell, New Mexico. And I want to play just one more clip here, and this would be Jesse Waters, and he's commenting, and his guests are commenting on four types of creatures that are being found as a result of some of this UFO and collapse and crashes and other kinds of discoveries. If we could play a clip two.
We are not alone. The Pentagon released the UFO files a few weeks back, and we just found out over a billion people have visited the site. A billion. It's got to be a record. The War Department says more files will be released soon. UFO experts and top researchers have been investigating aliens for years. Their sources say dozens of crashed UFOs have been recovered, and what they found inside? Shocking.
And do people think that there's one type of non-human intelligence that's visiting the Earth, or is there many, many types?
People who have been involved in recoveries have said
there are at least four separate types. Now, I have not had direct access to that, but I believe the people who I talk to. Four different types of life.
Four different species of aliens. Another scientist called them Greys, Nordics, Insectoids, and Reptilians. All of them have two arms and two legs, just like us. Experts speculate the Reptilians are scaly with long tails, like a lizard. Insectoids look like a praying mantis. The Greys look like your classic movie alien, and the Nordics look like a regular Swedish guy, but 7 feet tall. We haven't seen the evidence, but Pete Hegseth says more evidence is coming, and there are a lot of believers in Congress.
I have seen evidence in a skiff that leads me to believe there are things we cannot explain, and I have observed things that are of non-human origin and creation. That's my opinion.
Releasing the files isn't easy. They've been hidden for years, and a lot of people want to keep it that way.
The problem we have right now is the deep state's fighting the president on releasing. He kept his word, and I suspect some of our not-so-friendly comrades and some of our alphabet agencies are slow walking a lot of the information. It's about power, it's about control, and that's kind of what runs Washington.
So why is our own government fighting so hard to keep these secret? Well, a dozen scientists have either gone missing or died. Now, we don't know if that's related, but people are scared to talk.
One I thought was going to do an interview, and then a couple days before sent me a message saying, after further consideration and long talks with my wife, I decided I'd be forfeiting my life if I participated in your interview. And I thought that was like very unsettling message to get, obviously, but also very specific word choice, you know, forfeiting my life.
Mark Hitchcock, four types of creatures have been seen, supposedly. Demons manifesting. Give me your perspective.
Well, I think that's what it is. You know, these aren't extraterrestrials.
No.
So they don't come from other planets. They're extra dimensional.
Yep.
They're here and then they're not here. You know, they're not tracking them from outer space, you know, coming in on radar and all that. They're here. They pop in, they pop out. They're from some other dimension. The only life that we know that God's created, intelligent life, are human beings and angelic beings.
Yes.
Good angels wouldn't be doing this. And a lot of these things are beyond what human beings can do. So the only alternative is that this is demonic activity. Now, you know, 95% of UFOs and things people see can be naturally explained.
Yeah.
But there's about 5% of these that are unexplainable. And I believe it's, you know, extra dimensional. These demons are coming. It's deception. It's to get people obsessed with these things. It's to create fear. It's to give maybe, as you've mentioned earlier, a reason for the rapture, you know, to give an explanation for that. It's to get people focused on life on other planets, to believe in evolution. You know, this is a long story. I won't have time to tell you, but I was in Rio Doso. We went to Rio Doso, New Mexico. We go there every year on vacation. We go through Roswell. And several years ago, I went out to the crash site, the original crash site, with the man who owns that property. And in God's providence, this was way back in the 90s, a man was there named Frank Kaufman. He was the last survivor who saw the crash site the night that it happened in 1947. And he was out there, just happened to be by God's providence. I talked to him for an hour there. He explained everything that he saw to me. He was in his 70s at the time. He had no reason to lie about this. And he talked about these four different creatures that were there, not different kinds. They were all similar, but described it in great detail to me. And so I do believe that something is happening that cannot be explained humanly. But I do believe that it's demonic in its origin and its genesis. And I think this is going to fit into the end times. You know, it's interesting. They describe these four different types, you know, reptilian and insectoid. When you look at Revelation 9, when these demons are unleashed from the shaft of the abyss that come up on the earth, they're described as like locusts.
Yes.
So there's an insect and kind of a reptilian. You know, they have tails like a scorpion.
Yes.
That fits the description of these creatures that will come out of the abyss, this demonic manifestation that will take place. And so I think when that happens during the tribulation, they're released for 5 months, that will be, people will believe that they're, you know, beings from some other planets, but actually they're just demons who've come out of the abyss to invade the earth.
Yes. I made another video recently, happened to kind of go viral, where I suggested that the 1947 Roswell experience happened right as the UN was debating mm-hmm. the rebirth of the nation of Israel, which ultimately came to being in 48. Mm-hmm. The two incidences were happening at the same time. My conclusion was that the world of the demonic sort of said, not on my watch, this nation of Israel, not going to happen on our watch, mm-hmm. and they were going to increase their demonic activity in 1947. Now, there have been sightings for hundreds of years, but the modern-day sightings exploded in 47, 48, up until the present, but that it was a reaction to what the demonic world, mm-hmm. that was Satan, saw happening with the rebirth of and the rebirth and the recreation of the nation of Israel. That was my take on what's going on. I agree with you. It's certainly demonic in nature.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, also, too, 1947, 48 was really the beginning of the atomic age.
Yes.
You had in the, you know, just a few years later, the birth of the European Economic Community, which is the forerunner to the EU, which could be the embryonic phase of the Antichrist, Tin King empire that he will establish. So a lot of things happened during that time. But you're right. In 1947, a month before Roswell was up in the state of Washington. A man there flying an airplane was the first one to coin that term, you know, flying saucer. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting, the convergence of all of those things right around that time period in the late 1940s. I don't think that's an accident. Yeah. It's kind of like everything was kind of put on, into overdrive at that period of time prophetically.
Yes. I want to talk about one more issue here before, and then I want to get to your book, as a matter of fact. And I want to talk about this. Representative Maureen Galindo, thankfully she lost her congressional district election. She was running Texas 35th district, lost very recently. She's recommending detention centers, for that matter, concentration camps for, this really isn't for Jews. This is for American Zionists, for Christians who happen to love the Jews. Let's just play clip one and come back and talk about her.
When I say that I want billionaire Zionists in prison, that does not mean I want Jews in internment camps. So why am I getting a whole bunch of death threats and MAGA insults? Which actually makes sense, I realize. Like, MAGA and Jewish Zionist apparently are the exact same people. They talk the exact same way, and that's because MAGA is the developing Christian Zionist. That's how they want to create a religion state in the United States of America, is through MAGA. Which, that's the goal of Zionism, is to create these white supremacist religion states. So, like, I don't care what religion you are. If you are a Zionist, meaning that you believe that you are just entitled to land, or someone's just entitled to land based off of religious beliefs, and that you'll kill all of the Semites for it, then yeah, I think that you're a danger to humanity and belong in prison, especially if you have the political and economic resources to make that happen. And that's how we would, that's how we will get all of the billionaire Zionists in prison, is through all of the business.
Okay, so there are Jewish Zionists, and then there are folks like you and me, Mark Hitchcock, Christian Zionists. And Representative Maureen Galindo, again, she lost her appeal to run for Congress recently. It suggests that people like you and me are going to go to concentration camps or detention centers, And again, is this just an explosion of anti-Christian and anti-Semitic sentiment that's sort of out of control? Look, this woman almost became one of the most powerful women in America to sit in the House of Congress and help govern the United States of America.
Yeah, you know, what she's saying is so outlandish, but the fact that people are even saying that something that's that outlandish shows that that sentiment is out there.
Yeah.
It's out there, you know, with Tucker Carlson, with Candace Owens, with a lot of really well-known people. Now, they haven't said things this extreme yet, but they're pretty far out there, and they're really, they despise, you know, a Christian Zionist. But, you know, as a Christian Zionist, I believe that the Jewish people have a right to their ancient homeland, and I believe that they have a future, you know, a prophetic future. The fact that they're back in their land should be evidence to people that they have a right to be there, because they were scattered for 2,000 years to 70 countries. Their language died. They were brought back there supernaturally by the hand of God, and people need to recognize that. If they don't, really, they reject that, you know, to their own for their own folly. But we see an incredible rise in anti-Semitism. You know, 18 to 34-year-olds, now 53% of them are more sympathetic to Palestinians than to Israel. Here's a striking thing. 67% of Democrats are more sympathetic to Palestinians than they are to the nation of Israel. And so, they have a very unfavorable view. The unfavorable view of Israel is higher now than it's ever been. It's tripled since 2022. It's tripled in 4 years' time. So there's a landslide of anti-Semitism in our world today. And a lot of them, though, they'll say, well, I'm not against the Jewish people. I'm not anti-Semitic. Right. I'm just anti-Zionist.
Yeah.
Well, half the Jews in the world today live in Israel. So if you don't believe that they have a right to live in that country, then you're anti-Semitic. You hate the people who are living there. They try to nuance this somehow. But we know the world is going to end in a massive surge of anti-Semitism.
Yes.
With the Antichrist. He'll be the greatest anti-Semite that's ever lived, energized by Satan, because Satan tried to keep Jesus from coming and being born and accomplishing his mission. He failed in that. Now he's on plan B, which is to wipe out the people that the Bible says the Messiah will come and rule over and fulfill his covenants with. So he's trying to thwart God's plan and God's promises by wiping out the Jewish people. So all of this is being satanically energized. And we see that. It's just growing and gaining momentum in our world and in our country. And it's tragic and sad to see. But as believers, I'm saddened to see it, but I'm not surprised to see it.
Well, it's running into Zechariah 12:3, when the whole world will be hating the Jewish people. So this is a forerunner to that. Say, folks, be sure to catch Dr. Mark Hitchcock's weekly updates, Prophecy Update, on YouTube. I never miss them. I think they're one of the best. I believe it's posted late in the week. Catch it on YouTube. Mark, I want to move as we close, because we carry your newest book, The Persian Storm. We're going to show this on the screen. We're going to show some other books of yours that we carry as well. But this one, The Persian Storm, Biblical Prophecy and Iran's Last Threat to Israel. And as I've said to some other guests on the program here, that the current IRGC, now it may change into other forms, may go away temporarily, but we know it's coming back because of Ezekiel 38. It's certainly not going away. We also know that playing into this scenario, again, is this Islamic eschatology, the 12th Imam, who's going to thrive, actually going to come back as chaos reigns. Well, that's one reason they're stirring up chaos. It's energizing them, and you bring out, saw it in one of your updates, and I think it's so important we talk about this for at least a couple of minutes here. You bring out the importance of the Prince of Persia, and that's right out of the Bible, I believe, Book of Daniel. Why don't you tell me why you feel the Prince of Persia is even active today in the war with Iran?
Well, yeah, Daniel chapter 10, Daniel had prayed, and his prayer was heard immediately by God. So one thing we need to remember is, you know, demonic spirits, Satan and demons cannot keep our prayers from being heard by God. The moment we pray, God hears us. But the answer to the prayer was delayed for 21 days to Daniel. And we find out that kind of the veil's taken away in Daniel chapter 10. We find out this angel trying to bring the answer to Daniel was withstood by a demonic spirit called the Prince of Persia for a period of 21 days. And of course, Daniel, when this is taking place, you know, Persia is a great empire at that time that's dominating the world. Later on, he mentions there's another prince, the Prince of Greece. Well, the Greeks are the ones who came after the Persians. And so it was a focal point as well, because then they were going to rule over the Jewish people. But Michael, the archangel, has to actually come and help this angel fight against this Prince of Persia. But what it's telling us is there's a territorial spirit, the Prince of Persia, who's dominating the nation of Persia back in that day, that's causing all the things that are happening as the Persians are ruling over the people of Israel. And if there was a Prince of Persia back then and a Prince of Greece, we can know today there's a Prince of the United States, and a Prince of Russia, and a Prince of China. But we know there's also a modern Prince of Persia today that is working, doing Satan's work in Iran behind the leadership that's there, their whole, you know, twisted eschatology that's really demonic in origin, you know, this Mahdi who's coming. So there's a demonic force that's there at work that's behind the scenes orchestrating the things that are taking place in Persia today. Now, of course, God's in control of all of that. God supersedes all of that. God rules and overrules in history. But he allows these demonic spirits to work and to carry out their nefarious purposes. And that's ultimately going to lead, I believe, to the Battle of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38, when this demon will stir up these armies to Persia and Russia and these other nations to come in to Israel while they'll meet their demise.
Very, very, very fascinating, Mark Hitchcock. And Mark, what's the best way of getting in touch with you? What's the best website for you?
You mentioned earlier the YouTube channel. I have a video come out every Thursday morning. It's called Marking the End Times. And I just try to talk about, you know, sometimes I talk about just basic prophecy issues. I answer questions that people send in. I love doing it. It's a great privilege, and a lot of people are watching it. So it's a wonderful opportunity for me to talk about end time prophecy.
No, you're doing a great job. Thank you so much for all you do. Folks, that's it for today. We'll join me again some in the near future. But Mark, again, thank you for, again, we're carrying a number of your books. We'll flash them up on the screen. But again, the newest book that he has written is The Persian Storm, Biblical Prophecy and Iran's Last Threat to Israel. In the meantime, folks, always look up. Jesus is coming again sooner rather than later, perhaps even today. Thanks for listening.